Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Can we talk about violent crime in the city? And we will be talking about that coming up on the show, several different angles. But, you know, you always hear nationally in major cities it's up. And I just kind of wanted to get a little more more of the detail on that to see what's happening elsewhere. Leland Vittard is a correspondent at News Nation and joins us now to talk a little more about that. Hey, Leland, thanks for the time this afternoon.
Anna, great to be with you. Been a fan of yours for a very long time, since I was a young student at Northwestern and used to watch you.
Get out. You're an NU grad, too. Well, I'm a fan of yours, so that makes we'll have to meet in person sometime since you're here in Chicago now. I know you spent some time in New York, didn't you, Leland?
A little time in New York, time in Washington, and time overseas as well, but always think about life back here in Chicago and sure enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's been fun. I'll put it this way. To come back to Chicago in May as everything opens up from COVID is not a bad time to move home.
That was as good of a time as any, if you look at the last 16
it
months
was.
Or so, Leland. I mean, but I don't know if you were covering the crime this weekend or if you had the time off. We certainly heard the headlines here. My understanding is we had the worst crime numbers of any major city in America, actually, this weekend. And I know our police superintendent stood up and talked about yesterday. One of the things he cited was that, well, wait, look at Houston. It's 40% up there, homicides are. And look at Philadelphia, it's up 26%. And I mean, I was just sort of comparing. And in my mind, it was like, well, yeah, but last year we were up close to 50% in homicides, so you're not exactly getting the correct comparison. I just wonder, though, kind of as you, because you do cover the national scene on this, and what is it you are seeing in other cities?
Well, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, right? So you can make a statistic fit any narrative you want, and I was reading now New York is spinning it that, well, even though we're up year over year, we're not up month over month as compared to arrests, or you can come up with any spin you want, but bottom line, crime across America is up substantially in a way that we really haven't seen since the 1990s. And if the only way you need to know about whether it's a big deal or not, just listen to your friends talk about it. It's now become a commonplace situation. And as sad as it was, violence in American cities was at one time regulated to certain neighborhoods. Into sort of a certain group of people who chose to engage in violence amongst themselves, think gang members and the like. And occasionally you'd have carjackings or robberies that would move outside those distinct groups that chose to deal with things in a violent manner. And that's no longer true. You've got 8, 9, and 10-year-old kids getting caught in the crossfire routinely. You've got random people caught up in this violence, people pulled from their cars and shot and killed. And that's not just in Chicago. It's across the country. New York's had a big increase in crime, 32% over 2020 as well. You just look at what happened in Oakland over the past weekend, when you had dozens of people shot and the sort of 12-hour-long crime spree that police couldn't get a control over. And my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri, the murder capital of the world, it's out of control as well. And the prosecutor there has a homicide clearance rate that keeps going down because they don't view that as a priority. And we know how to solve the problem. It happened in the 90s, and it's a combination of community policing and broken windows policies and stop and frisk and really tough police work on those who commit gang violence. But that's not what's happening in American cities. So you have a known solution. And then you have the political question. Those are different things.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because there was so much pushback from civil liberties groups about stop and frisk, that they're used for racial profiling and things like that. And you understand those concerns. I think right now what we're hearing in Chicago, even I've heard several aldermen say, let's go after curfew violators to try to stop the masses that are running through the streets. And we've had some firecracker incidents and some shooting incidents in downtown Chicago lately. And that's kind of that philosophy, whether or not they want to call it that or not. That's what that is. It's going after minor violators with the idea.
Yeah, that's broken windows. That's Rudy Giuliani, mayor of New York, that cleaned up New York. Now, again, now that this is becoming a topic of conversations among people who don't feel safe generally. Politicians are going to have to make a choice. Do they sort of cede to the defund the police movement? And I'm using that in air quotes and in the broad sense, but sort of the police are the problem. Or do the politicians say, well, we went a little too far here, and the police need to be re-engaged, and they need to be given the political cover to re-engage in order to combat this. And it may be too late. You know, think about a city like Atlanta, where 10% of the police force doesn't exist. They have, you know, they have 300 less officers than they are allotted, and they can't recruit anybody because nobody wants to come be a cop in Atlanta. So even if, you know, these things, this is going to take time, and every expert that I've talked to here, and you're hearing this from police chiefs, this is July 4th weekend. It's going to get a lot worse this summer before it gets even has an ability to get better.
Yeah, it isn't just Atlanta, I can tell you that. You talk to Chicago police here, and they'll tell you how many days it is until their retirement. And we had 540 right. retire last year. You had the two classes I know of so far this year had 22 people graduate from the academy, and something like 50 was the second class. That's not replacing the number of police, and they don't exactly have people knocking down the doors in this environment to say, hey, let me do this. And I think that's a horrible thing for cities across the country, because you want the best people to do those jobs, and you want to respect the ones who do right. the job well and wear the badge with honor and dignity. And the vast majority of police officers do that. We have 13,000 officers here in the city of Chicago. I have personally in my career covered some of the bad ones and exposed them, and yet I have faith in the vast majority of them to do the right thing and would willingly walk in front of danger and put their own lives at risk to save yours or mine. And that is just the way it is. And I think that's a crisis in and of itself. If we don't have people who want to do that job, who are good people, sure. smart people, and that's another issue.
Yeah, it's definitely another issue. And you just think about it. If you were a parent, I'm not, but I think you are.
I am.
You know, and your child said, hey, mom or dad, I want to go be a cop. You'd go, let's sit down and talk about that. It's not seen anymore as this great calling in the way that it used to be. And the risks of it, it's this thankless job now that if you do it right 100% of the time, you still you still barely get any recognition, much less the recognition you deserve. It reminds me of an old story from Colin Powell back when I used to cover the Middle East. And he said, you know, everybody can't wait to complain about America being the world's policeman, but who do you call when you need a cop? And everybody can't wait to complain about the police in good times. And when there's no crime, it seems like, you know, you see a bad apple or you see something happen, and you go, God, you know, these tactics are just terrible. And then all of a sudden, when it's at your front door, you call the cops and you really need them to show up.
Absolutely. And one of the things we've heard from the Biden administration so far is the strike force. So it's stemming the tide of guns, trying to stop the guns from getting the illegal guns from crossing the borders, from moving their way into major cities. I hope it's successful. I want it to be successful. I've heard of these types of plans in the past. I know Mayor Daley was awfully tough on handguns. He banned them in the city. I mean, there were all kinds of laws right. like that that's tried to eliminate getting the guns into the hands of people who would use them and do other people harm with them. And it hasn't always been successful, frankly. And I just wonder if he will elaborate or if there'll be additional support.
It's a great question. And the answer is we sort of know that these get tough on guns, banning guns, to your point, doesn't work. Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in the country. And as you pointed out, some of the worst crime statistics in the country. And you can argue all what lowers crime rate is getting the people who use guns illegally and who are caught in possession of guns illegally off the streets. And what I can speak very well to St. Louis is that they're having a terrible time because the prosecutions of gun crime and felon in possession of a gun by the local prosecutor is almost non-existent. Therefore, the federal prosecutors, who are typically tasked with dealing the worst of the worst, sort of the gang leaders and the longtime gang members who are caught with guns, they're now overwhelmed. And the federal system was never built for that. So, again, it goes back to the question of is it a real problem that needs a political solution. And the popular political solutions that the Democrats are putting forward historically have not worked. That's an empirical fact. That is not up for discussion.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue it'll work this time, or it'll work this time if we spend more money, but historically they haven't worked. We know that.
Yeah, and I'm rooting for all this stuff to work, by the way. I would like something to work.
Who
I would like to open up our ears to all plans. Yeah, no, you're right, Leland. I mean, we have aldermen now calling for the National Guard, and I don't recall a time when we've had all that many city leaders.
Think about how scary that concept is. I've been in a number of situations where the National Guard came in. I've been in a number of situations overseas where the federal troops came in. That is an inherently un-American concept, to have National Guardsmen on American streets. It was used so rarely in American history. And now the idea that it's going to come in, not because of a single incident, but just because things have gotten so out of control, that should scare us all.
It should tell you something, and it does, for sure. Leland, when can we catch you on News Nation?
Well, we'll be on tonight, and then show launches July 19th. So
nice.
We're looking forward to coming on and chatting with you about it, and also seeing you on the air here.
Well, please do that.
Maybe after a 4 p.m. WGN show, we might get you up here to Bradley Place to come chat with us. Turnaround's fair play.
I'll rush over there. I could do it. And please come on and talk about your show. I'd like to hear more about it coming up. Good talking with you, Leland.
Pleasure as always. Nice to talk to you.